This recording is a ministry of Grace Bible Church of Pleasant Hill, California. We want to thank you for listening and invite you to visit us each Lord's Day on our campus located at 40 Cleveland Road, Pleasant Hill, California, or at any time at gbcph.org.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh my goodness, what a gift it was to hear Jenny tell us about you. To have your word quoted up here, wow. So Lord, would you be our teacher today? Would you help us to have understanding of who you are? Would you help us to know more deeply what it is to have justice and to have mercy, to have kindness, to have love? We love you, Lord. We join our hearts together the beginning of this day, asking you to be our teacher. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you'll turn to Hosea chapter 11, where Jenny started for us so beautifully, actually, and what she said, what we sang, are the exact words of today and what we are going to be looking at. So you just sang the sessions for today. And weren't they beautiful? Didn't it bring you hope to sing about how he responds to us, to sing about how he's faithful, to sing about how he's merciful? Well, in Hosea chapter 11, I led them with cords of a man, verse 4. And many of your translations will say, I led them with cords of kindness, with bands of love. And just like Jenny said, it was not a time in Israel that they deserved God's response. But it even made it more beautiful that God would say, you deserve judgment, but I'm going to draw you with cords of kindness. Gentle cords of kindness, and with bands of love. That's the God we have. That's the Father we have. He does not give us what we deserve, Psalm 103 says, but he acts in mercy and in grace and in goodness and in faithfulness with cords of kindness. So I want you to look as we go through the women today that, I mean, there would be so many that we could do and would have loved, but these kind of rose to the top of some reason, not haphazardly. It's what God wants us to hear today. I find great comfort in that. That he has a specific plan, a specific hour, and you, I think you'll see it as we go through. It is a word for us today. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 10. You are going to love this story, especially after the breakfast we just had. The Queen of Sheba has nothing on us. She just thought she did, but I would bet that the smile of God today was like, I'm just getting you ready for that 1 Kings chapter 10. And so, you know what, as we begin, would you take just a moment, and we're only going to take a moment so you can't tell your whole life story, but would you just turn to one or two people and say, what would I like, or what am I here for today? When I come to the end of the day, this is what I would like to see in my life. So take just a moment, form your thoughts, and then just share with somebody sitting right there by you. It's always interesting when you have a group of women, they'll either not talk at all or they will talk. And generally, they will talk. Now, you scared me at first, because when I first said it, it was like, okay, I'll do that. But it didn't take you long. And you got started, and I am so glad. We're going to take a moment and read 1 Kings 10, verses 1 through 10 and 13. Now, it's a little lengthy, but the story of it is so beautiful. I think you will love it. So 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 and 13. Now, when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all of her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters, and their attire. Isn't that just like a woman to notice the servant's attire? I find that so fun. His cupbearers and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord. There was no more spirit in her. Some of your translations will say, it took her breath away. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard to my own in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came, and with my eyes I had seen it. And behold, the half of it was not told to me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I had heard. How blessed are your men. How blessed are your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on your throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She gave the king 120 talents of gold, and a very great amount did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. Let's skip over to verse 13. King Solomon gave to the queen of Sheba all her desire which she had requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. Then she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. What a story. If you've been in Sunday school over the years, you've heard this story. You've seen pictures of the Queen of Sheba riding the camel across the desert. Well, to carry as much goods as she had, which 120 talents of gold is not really anything we use, a measurement, but they say it was 2.5 tons of gold. Well, to carry 2.5 tons of gold across the desert, with each camel being able to carry 200 pounds on a trip like that, it took 43 camels. Now, can you only imagine a sight looking across the desert of Arabia? Because Sheba is a country, and Sheba is what we have as modern day Yemen. So she lived all the way at the bottom of the Arabian desert, and Jerusalem was here in Israel. The queen of Sheba left Sheba. She could be, it's like saying she is a woman of Sheba. That's why she's called the queen of Sheba. She left here and she traveled 1,500 miles with 43 camels, taking 72 days. Now, all of those are just, if this is true, if a camel could take 200 pounds, if, now, it is true that she sent 2.5 tons of gold. That is a true measurement. And she started out. Now, you know, scholars find it interesting that she made the trip herself. Didn't she have anyone around her that she trusted to go and say, go find out what it's like up there. Go find out what they're saying about Jerusalem. Go find out what they say about King Solomon. Now, who was Solomon? Let's remind ourselves, who was Solomon? How does he fit into the biblical story? Who was his dad? David. And who was David's mother? Bathsheba. No, that was his wife. Solomon, which is the Solomon here. And that's how he fits into the biblical story. He's David's son. David sinned. And yet God brought Solomon into their family. Solomon is known as the richest and the wisest man who has ever lived. Now that blows my mind. They even say it now. I mean, don't you think maybe Bill Gates would be richer than him? Or Amazon guy? I can't even think of his name right now. Jeff Bezos. Yeah, you would think maybe they would say, well, he kind of overtook him. But they still say the wealth of Solomon was wiser and more had more wealth than any person that's ever lived. I look at Elon Musk and the things he accomplishes, you're like, what kind of intellect? You look at people in Israel this last week and you think, wow, what kind of intellect did it take to be able to do what they did? So the people are wise. I'm not sure how AI is going to fit into this, but I would bet God will limit AI to be less than Solomon. I don't know, but he does say here he was wiser and had more wealth than any person who had ever lived. And the Queen of Sheba, 1,500 miles away, heard about Solomon. Now, did you notice what she heard about him? Look there in verse 1. How much more clear could it be? Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. I'm sure she knew he was the wealthiest. I'm sure she knew he was the wisest. But that's not what she went after. She went after concerning the name of the Lord. That's what she wanted to know. Now you think about it. God called a queen to go 1,500 miles in order to know who he was. What are the circumstances of your life? Can you say, like the Queen of Sheba, God was at work in me coming to know him? Because I was raised in this home, because my dad met this girl, or because we moved here and there was a church here, or because I met a friend, I live next door, or because there's a little white building wherever you are, Kelly, around the corner. He does it for every one of us. He orchestrates circumstances. And I think the story of the Queen of Sheba says he'll go to any lengths to do that. He doesn't say, oh, you're too far away. If you can ever get yourself up from Arabia, go up there on a trip. No, he compelled her to want to know about this God that he knew. See, all the peoples of the world have a place, or what they call a temple, or what they would call a synagogue. They have some place they worship. But this was different. And we begin to see that she knew that the place where Solomon, the house of the Lord for Solomon, was a place where people could go and meet their God. It wasn't a God that was distant, and they just hoped he heard their prayers, or they brought sacrifice, or they came together and they quoted things, or they... This was a people that Solomon could invite them into the house of the Lord, and they met God there. That's the same for us. It makes us different than all the other religions of the world. We have a God who is near. We have a God who is dear. When we invite you, it's not the temple. It's not the, it is the house of the Lord when we ask you to come and gather with us, or when you're invited. But it's different than all the other religious houses of worship. When we come here, we actually meet with our God on a personal level. It's not just a house, a building, where people say, come on in. You'll find refreshment. It's cool. Oh, we're going to have the best breakfast. We're going to have... No. The heart of the people is, we want to meet God. We want to know who he is. Well, the Queen of Sheba had heard that and felt very much like she wanted to do the same. So she came to Jerusalem, verse 2. We saw that, how much gold. But she didn't just bring the gold, which would have been the 43 camels for 75 days. She brought very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. She must have felt welcome. Do you just go in and talk to somebody and share everything on your heart? Or do you say, I'm going to get to know them a little bit before I just divulge my heart? Well, not the Queen of Sheba. She felt the comfort of God through Solomon. She shared what was in her heart, not just what was in her heart, but all that was in her heart. And Solomon answered all of her questions. There wasn't anything she asked that he couldn't answer. He knew the answer. So when the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, and then the description, even the waiters in their attire, there was no breath left in her. She looked at his life. I mean, it was kind of breathtaking walking into breakfast this morning, right? Wasn't it beautiful? And you just thought the beauty of it made you want to be a part of the people and want to eat the good food, and it just kind of compels you. Well, that's what she's saying here. It was breathtaking to me to see all that he had. And then she said to the king, verse 6, it was a true report. Everything they've said was true. Nevertheless, I didn't believe it until I came with my eyes and I've seen it. How blessed are your men. How blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. You know, when you study this passage, it doesn't go by but a few that they say, isn't this the picture of our God and of Jesus? When she says, how blessed are your men. You know, the psalmist said that over and over in the psalm. In the Psalms, he said, how blessed are those who hear your word and keep your word. How blessed are those who lay down at night with the word of the Lord on their tongue. How blessed are the Lord, are the men, are the servants who stand before you continually. It is true, isn't it? Think of all the nights you've laid down and you didn't think a thing about God. You were so tired. You'd had so much to do. You were still trying to finish the details in your mind. And you go to sleep fitfully. Think of the difference when you lay down at night and you say, God, I saw you today in this detail. God, thank you for helping me accomplish as much as I did. God, thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you that even when I didn't live for you today, you have mercy to cover my sin. I love Psalm 103 because Psalm 103 tells us the benefits of being a child of God. He's gracious. He's compassionate, slow to anger. He does not reward us according to our sins. He does not keep his anger forever. As a father looks upon his children and has compassion upon his children, so the Lord looks at us. He takes our sin and he places them as far as the east is from the west. That's a pretty casual phrase. But do you know what it means? If you start walking and you start walking east and you keep walking east and you keep walking east and you keep walking east, east and west never meet. Now, if he had said, I've buried your sins as far as the north is from the south, when you get to the bottom of the south, you start going north. Do you see what God was saying to us? I have taken your sin and buried it as far as the east is from the west. Can you only imagine when the Queen of Sheba heard of a forgiving God? But for you and me, the story even gets richer because we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And it's a picture of God taking our sin and laying them on his Son. And they are never to be remembered anymore. You know, it's not a magical formula where you just say, okay, if I do 1, 2, and 3, then 4, 5, and 6 happen. And then I can start on 7, 8, and 9. And there's a prescription for finding forgiveness in God. No, he tells us, for the one who will bow and kneel humbly before me and repent of their sin. God, I'm a sinner. Now, it's not hard for many of us, or Maybe all of us, there might be one or two. It's not hard for us to say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things that are wrong. Even if I'm trying now not to, I know I did. And I keep having that weigh on me, kind of sit on my shoulder in a backpack, and I carry it around with me. And it makes us less usable in the kingdom. He wants you to have the freedom. Nancy DeMoss calls it the freedom of forgiveness. Living with man and man, forgiving one another for our sin. But even more so, there's a freedom that comes when you recognize that God sent Jesus to forgive your sin and my sin. We sang this morning, He Knows My Name. We'll even see that in Scripture this afternoon. He doesn't just take a blanket and go, poof, I hope somebody in there got the sprinkles this morning. But He individually calls us by name and says, I want you. And He calls us to have the joy. Those who look to Him, one of those verses there when it talks about how blessed are your men, how happy are your men. There's a verse, I hope I can find it, where it says, I'll find it, but he says, how radiant are the faces of those who know Him as their God. That's what He wants us to be, a picture of these people that are blessed because they live in the King's household. It's a beautiful story of the Queen of Sheba, and you might think that's the end of the story, but if you can find it, and it's not often easy for me, you notice I put this little marker in there. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 9. I love this little story. It's much of what we just read, but there's a few other details that come in. I just want to show you the three places where we read about the Queen of Sheba. So would you, with the same people that you just shared with, would you read chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, okay? Just enjoy the read. You don't have to take it, like, glean every truth out of it, but read it to see what you find. Thank you. Did you find anything different in there? Mostly the same? There's a few details, depending on the translation that you read, but it just makes the story richer. And when you read it the second time, having known who she was and who she was going to see and who he represented, the story begins to live in us. But that's not the end of the story. She's mentioned one more time, and we say, oh, that's okay for the Old Testament. But Jesus talks about the Queen of Sheba. Look over in Matthew. It's a very interesting passage. I think that you will appreciate. Queen of Sheba, drawn by wisdom. God used wisdom to draw her. Now get to Matthew, if you would. Let me get there. Sorry, I think it's 12. Let's see if my marker, sorry. Matthew chapter 12. Can you see it there? 42. Thank you. Thank you, Kay. Get my Bible open to there. Well, the scribes and Pharisees were saying that they wanted a sign whether they would believe that Jesus was truly who he said he was. And you would think of all the examples that Jesus could have used, all of the Old Testament, as well as even people in the New Testament. He went back to the Queen of Sheba to answer them. Verse 41, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. You remember the story. God was going to destroy them. He sent Jonah to tell them, if you'll repent, God won't destroy you. And then they repented. God didn't destroy them. And the man of God, Jonah, was mad. So, and Jesus knew that story when he was talking about this. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The Queen of the South will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth. Arabia was considered the end of the earth at this time. Because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Who was speaking here? If you got a red letter Bible, you know it was Jesus. And he just said, someone greater than Jonah is here. And then he said, someone greater than Solomon is here. And he called them to believe. Now, it's going to be a question that comes up for us all day. Is he calling you? Is he calling you to believe? Is there something going on in your life where you've thought, I think he's forgotten us. I think we've moved out from under his protection. He must not care. Because if he cared, he would see me crying every night in my bed. If he cared, he would see me calling out to him, Lord, please, 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 please. Well, let me ask you, Did he see David when David sinned? And David called out to him. Did he see Daniel, a young man, maybe 17, 18 years old, being carried off into Babylon? Did he see Jonah, who was swallowed by a fish? Did he see Elizabeth? Who else? Joseph? Did he see Joseph lowered down into the earth, knowing that out of that they were going to pull him up and sell him to slaves? Did he see Moses, a little baby sent down the river in an ark? Listen, that's not the criteria that we figure out if God cares, if he hears. He didn't save people from every circumstance in the Bible. Why would he save each one of us from every painful and hurtful circumstance? You know why it makes a difference? Look at your life. The things that you've suffered, the things that bring you the most hurt, the most harm. You who are Christians, what do you do with that when you begin to feel that crushing weight of sorrow? We look up to him. What do you do when your back is against the wall? My boss says he lets us get so far out on the limb that if he doesn't come through, there is no help. It's because that's what he uses. That's what he used all the way through. That's what he used with the Queen of Sheba. Do you think it was easy to make a plan for a trip of 120 talents of gold, 2.5 tons? You think it was easy to gather the camels? Do you think all the women got along on that journey from Saudi Arabia, the bottom of Arabia, all the way up to Jerusalem? It was not easy. And yet look at the story that is told. She was a woman who was honored because of her heart to seek God. Trouble is what causes us most often to look up, to cling to him, to hold on tightly. God, if you don't work in this situation, it is not going to work. We can't survive. We can't make it. And he says the same thing here that he said in Hosea chapter 11. I'm drawing you. I'm pulling you close to myself. Now some of you will respond to wisdom, seeking wisdom, knowing what God says, how he responds, what he does. That will be what draws you to him. But there's other things that draw us to God. Sometimes it's devotion, and sometimes it's a clinging to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love the Queen of Sheba, not because she was rich, but because she wanted to know what Solomon knew about you. She wanted to come and go before you through Solomon because she wanted to know concerning his God. And you had blessed Solomon so many ways. You had blessed the Queen of Sheba, but in physical ways, not in a heart in the spirit that called upon you as the Lord God Jehovah. And Father, you went to great lengths to draw her unto yourself, to have her go 1,500 miles, a 3,000-mile trip, round trip, in order to seek out a God where people could meet with him in his house, where people could receive help from him, where people could be at rest. In the picture of Solomon's house, they looked to him and their faces were radiant because they were with you. That's what we desire, Lord. We desire for the world to see us as those who have come seeking great wisdom because it is of you. So, Father, in these quiet moments, I'd like to ask that those of us here would consider, what would you do? How far would you go to seek out the wisdom of God? Would you go across the United States? Would you go to Southern California? Would you seek him out? Grace Bible Church? Without complaining, it's the one day I have. Some of us have a hard time even getting up in our bedroom and seeking the wisdom of God because of so many things in the way. So, Lord, in these few moments of reflection, would you speak to our hearts? Would you help us see ourselves clearly? Would I go? Is it that important I would make a 3,000-mile journey? And if so, it shouldn't be a very big distance, to get up every morning and seek the wisdom of God. Thank you for these moments of reflection, Heavenly Father. Thank you for helping us see the heart of devotion that would make a 3,000-mile journey in order to find you and know you. And I know for me, sitting among these beautiful people in a beautiful church with a feast for our breakfast. With the Word of God sung and the truths that are found there. Lord, may it be that which just compels us, like it did the Queen of Sheba, to say, bless your God. He is the God who saw you as the King of Israel, the one set upon the throne forever. Use the covenant language. Would you use just even this first part of the day to compel us to want to seek you, to want to know you, to lay aside the things that so easily encumber us, and do that which is most important, seeking you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.